Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You are listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Kukule Tumfupi, but my good friend, colleague, and sister in all things business, Nzinga Kunta, is also helping us out with the show tonight. Why? Because it's been a busy day. And as you've heard so far, we've been here at the B20 Summit, the first time that it's held on the African continent and on African soil under an African presidency of the G20. And I must tell you, as we've described, it's been a phenomenal day when it comes to witnessing the leaders, captains of industry, institutional partners who have been present representing business, not just in South Africa, but the world over. One particular individual, though, who we get to speak to quite often on company results, sometimes on strategy, and tonight in his capacity as the co-chair of the B20 Finance and Infrastructure Task Force, is the group CEO of Standard Bank, Mr. Sim Shabalala. Sim, good to have you with us on Kaya Biz. I'm excited to touch base with you after seeing you, catching you from the corner of my eye in the front row this morning, doing the introduction to the B20. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kugulet. You did a terrific job. It was fantastic. Thank you very much. And it's wonderful to be on the show tonight.
Thank you. Sim, as you can imagine, it's been quite a long day. So I do have my colleague Nzinga Kunta, who is also joining us for this conversation, just to share some perspective and ask questions as well that, again, hit home for all of us as South Africans to understand the extent of the B20 summit. And I guess as we commence the conversation, Sim, what's important for us to notice that when it comes to the recognition of the opportunities that exist in the world, business is clear on that. And that does mean that we're not afraid to have bold conversations regarding the uncertainty. And that came through in several conversations and from various business leaders who highlighted the fact that ongoing collaborative efforts do need to be sought. I'm quite keen to hear your perspective on this, your mood, the feedback, the level of engagement that you have with international peers. Is it speaking to a heightened level of confidence right now?
Yes, it does indeed. And maybe let me make reference to a couple of really interesting things. So firstly, there was the cocktail party last night. It was jam-packed, as you recall. And many of us then left to go and attend dinners with clients or with government officials. And the entire town of Johannesburg was abuzz with all of these meetings. Likewise today. The entire day there, as you recall, started off with a great cultural event, but then a series of speeches, presentations, and panels that are off the charts good. There are many things South Africa does really badly, but there are many things it does really well. And convening important conversations about South Africa, the continent, and the world is something South Africa does really well. And I do tip my hat to the Secretariat, to Kaz Kovadia, and to the co-chairs, my chairman of Standard Bank, Sisnonkululeko Nyembezi, and Ramgo. What a fantastic job. Yeah, let me stop there. You can tell everything is positive, everything is looking up.
Sim, thanks for your time, and thanks to you and Google for letting me gatecrash this conversation. I wasn't at the B20 earlier on today, but I'm here now. I know in your capacity as co-chair of the B20 Finance and Infrastructure Task Force, you said that there's a lot of recommendations that you want to implement. If you can just take us through some of those and your thinking about what's going to be implemented.
So, Nzinga, let me start at the end. We are firmly of the view that the three broad recommendations that we've made are going to be carried forward, and they are, in many respects, in advanced stages of being implemented. The continent needs about $100 billion worth of infrastructure per year that it cannot finance. Put differently, there's a gap. That level of infrastructure is necessary for the purposes of power and electricity, to build bridges, roads, ports, and that's necessary to move the copper, the cobalt, the other minerals, the agricultural goods, the manufactured goods, the cars that we build in South Africa, get them to our ports and sell them to international destinations, create jobs and create income for South Africans.
Mm.
The recommendations we make say you've got to build this critical infrastructure that gets you that electricity, that those roads, that power, and get you to manufacture those goods so that you can export them and earn income for your country. So that's the first set of recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things under those recommendations is you need more project preparation facilities, because 9 out of 10 projects never get to financial closure.
Mm-hmm.
They fall off either because they've been badly put together, people don't have sufficient money, they don't have the data, and so forth. So let's do that. The second set of recommendations is get private sector, the public sector, and philanthropies to pool their resources, provide this $100 billion that I'm referring to, and get rid of the impediments that make it hard to do this. These include insufficient data, insufficient rules and regulations that cut across jurisdictions so that you can move either the capital or the data or indeed the goods between countries. Change the rules that pertain to how banks and insurance companies hold capital so that they can release that capital to lend more to projects. And your the ratings agency story. I'll just pass that over in silence for the present. And then the third set of recommendations is how do you get this money from investors into projects, into the economy, and importantly, into the hands of SMEs. There are many things that need to be done. One of them is, can these SMEs please be paid in full and on time? So those are the recommendations. And as I say, many of them are already being executed upon.
Okay.
Sim, to build up with the theme around finance, the cost of capital has come up. It's even been shared in part of the recommendations by the G20 Africa Expert Panel. And I'm quite keen to understand, in your engagements with international peers and partners, what does that conversation look like? And I ask this in light of the fact that South Africa just actually had a credit upgrade recently from the likes of Standard & Poor's when it comes to our long-term debt. So the shift in the narrative, confidence, changing ratings, is it changing the way within which we're able to access capital from international markets at a much more affordable rate?
So here's the thing, Kuku. The cost of capital is determined by many things. Those include monetary policy in a country, the independence of a central bank, how its currency is free floating and is related directly to the way in which the economy operates. It's dependent on budget transparency, the discipline, fiscal discipline. It's dependent on the rule of law. It's dependent on whether or not people have got strong institutions. In our case, those institutions include, you know, the churches, the labor movement, organs of civil society, the courts, business, and so forth. And all of these things, if you pull them all together, they made it impossible for the ratings agency, in this case S&P, not to upgrade us. Mm-hmm. And in fact, not only did they upgrade us, they kept us on a positive outlook, which is an unusual thing. And it presages additional and future upgrades. In that context, however, we've been arguing strenuously, as has the expert panel led by Mr. Trevor Manuel, to say, first of all, we need to change the way in which people perceive risk on the African continent, and we need to make sure that it is aligned to the actual facts, to the actual losses, to the actual risks that are associated with the continent, because those ratings actually do determine the price that we pay for our debt on the continent. And that's just not just for the sovereigns, but for the corporates, the companies, and for you and I as we buy our cars, our homes, and so forth. And so it is imperative for us to get this done. There is a statistic I've quoted, and I'd like to quote it again, which says if South Africa was rated correctly, we think it to be rated BBB. It's currently rated BB- by most of these rating agencies. And the data suggests that we should be BBB. If we're rated BBB, it would save our country in the medium term, because the debt needs to roll off first, about 50 to 70 billion rand a year. I ask you with tears in my eyes, how many schools, hospitals, bridges can you build with that level of capital? And the same proposition applies throughout the continent. And so South Africa, joined by other African countries and indeed by other emerging market countries, is making a strong case for a more rational approach to the determination of risk on the continent. And the other one just related to this, and again, you will have heard the central bank governor, Mr. Kanyaho, speak about this, is to say, you know, the authorities of financial, the FSB and the BCBS, the standard setters in the globe, in Basel, need to change the rules and reduce the capital that the banks and insurance companies hold against the projects that they invest in so that they can invest in more and larger projects. Those are the things, and these are echoed in the finance and infrastructure paper as well as in the expert panel paper that was written by Mr. Manuel and his fellow experts.
Yeah, 100%. Well, we're looking forward to seeing how this continues to be received. And of course, we don't negate the fact that we still live in a world that is still operating. And as you say, tomorrow, we have the MPC giving us an update on our local interest rates. That's on the back of the inflation numbers that were released today. So crossing fingers and holding thumbs that we might get a nice early Christmas present there, Sim. But thank you for giving us a broader picture of the finance and infrastructure task force. I understand there's lots of engagements you're actively going to be participating in. So hopefully I do see you again tomorrow and we wrap it up on a sweeter note.
Indeed. Thank you ever so much. And to both of you, thank you for the great work that you do, and a tribute to both of you, and thank you to your listeners.
Thank you. All right, Sim Chabalala, CEO, Group CEO of Standard Bank and co-chair of the B20 Finance and Infrastructure Task Force. As we wrap up that conversation at 26 minutes to 7 here on Kaya Biz on the street, on the air, myself and Google Chumfupi taking you through your drive home. Right. Or if you're listening to us on DSTV channel 861, you've gotten home, you know the conversations are good. Please, you can also call us 086-000-959. In just a moment, Google, what are we doing?
In just a moment, well, we'll be sitting down with the leader of Old Mutual, specifically focused on human resources and, of course, Chief Human Capital and Corporate Affairs Officer at Old Mutual. Lediwe Ross will be joining us today. And oddly enough, I saw her and spotted her in a number of conversations
tonight. This is why you're here. This is why we said you're going to work in the day in front of the international visitors. And then you're going to come home here on Kaya 959 on the street, on the air, to continue the conversation, just that context about B20 and the nuggets that you've picked up when you were hosting. We'll be back in just a moment here on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.